Thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
Time then to talk about our latest trip to the theatre, our latest trip for our theatre reviewer. Every week we hear from him. Good afternoon once again to ITV's Vida Harding. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon. Nice to talk to you again, Ian. How are you?
Not too bad at all, thank you.
Good
Looking
man.
Forward to the end of the week. You never know. I might even plan a wee trip to the theatre myself if you're going to inspire me this
week. Well,
time,
then, no pressure then. Here we go. So
what are we talking about this week then? It's Dr. Faustus, I believe.
Dr. Faustus, yeah. By Christopher Marlowe, which is a play of which I'd heard, Ian, and it's Marlowe, in a sense, was a sort of contemporary of Shakespeare's, and apparently this particular work was perhaps the most controversial play at that time, over and above the works of the Bard himself. And it's really focusing, well, it's based on the German story of Faust, which again features in various operatic works as well, as you may be aware. And the story is about, surprise, surprise, Dr. Faustus, who's a very sort of erudite, very educated, but rather embittered scholar. And, you know, he's desperate to have a deeper understanding of the universe because he sort of, you know, feels he knows it all already, I guess, to some extent. And so to help him do that, he turns to magic, and with his two friends, Valdez and Cornelius, he conjures up the demon Mephistopheles and gets him to do a deal with Lucifer, with the devil, basically exchanging infinite power and knowledge over 24 years for his soul. And you know, even though he's racked with guilt, he signs this deal in blood, and during that 24 years, he goes on a journey which takes him into contact with dukes and popes and duchesses and all the rest of it. But of course, increasingly, as time ticks on, he has to face his reckoning. So quite a powerful number, as you might imagine.
I was going to say, Vida, I mean, it's an Elizabethan play, as you're saying, not by Shakespeare, but quite similar to some of the works of Shakespeare, certainly. But just from the plot that you're talking about there, it sounds as if it would be quite an involved one, quite an intense experience as well.
Quite an intense experience, although directed by Maria Arberg. It's a Royal Shakespeare Company production that I saw recently in Stratford, and obviously an audio described one, which goes without saying, perhaps in this slot. But they've done it in such a way that, yes, you're right, Ian, it is quite a complex story and quite, in a way, a sinister story in some respects. But they've done it with a lot of music, and, for example, the Seven Deadly Sins are characters in there. They're particularly grotesque figures. A lot of the costumes are very present day, but to convey some of the, you know, the characters like gluttony, for example, or covetousness, or, you know, to name but two of the Seven Deadly Sins, you know, that they were all perhaps larger than life, if I can put it like that. And the pre-show notes, actually, just to pick up that point of yours around how complex or otherwise the story is, always contain, when the RSC related anyway, the Royal Shakespeare Company's productions, always have a little bit of a synopsis, which I always find helpful. And actually, even if you think you know the story or you're familiar with the plot or whatever, good just to sort of take reference to that, and it just gives you that little bit of an icing on the cake feeling to be sure that you know what you're in for.
I think sorry, Vida, to interrupt you. I just think that would be a very important when you're going to see like a fresh take on even an old play. The director of the current production will always put his own little bit of stamp on it and maybe alter things just a little bit. So I would imagine that would be a very important thing and a great service as well to have.
Absolutely. And so in those pre-show notes as well, which again is really helpful, and I always think it's a little bit like sighted theatre patrons, you know, reading their programme or whatever. So you'll get a list of the characters, who plays which part. Interestingly, in this production, Oliver Ryan and Sandy Grierson interchange in the roles of Faustus and Mephistopheles, and basically they decide who's playing each part on the night at the start of the play, at the opening of each production, with the length of a burning match, which is quite interesting. So it's an interchangeable sort of double role, double act there, which was a different dimension to it. I think the other thing, again, that I don't think I realised, and it's quite important for the context of the play, So, yes, this was written in Elizabethan England, a time when actually the supernatural was very much more relevant in the sense of people believed in it, people talked a lot about it, they felt it had an impact in their everyday lives. Now, you know, people may well feel to a greater or less extent that is still true, but in those days it was very much part of everyday culture, if I can put it like that, apparently. That's something I picked up from the notes. And to that extent, obviously, the fact that the title character does turn to magic wouldn't in any way have surprised or shocked or whatever the audience at the time, because that was very much part and parcel of what they believed into, you know, alongside their strong Christian doctrinal beliefs as well. So all of that really useful information, certainly from my point of view, for you know, the backdrop to the play.
Now, when you've talked about RSC, Royal Shakespeare Company Productions, before Vidar, I think you've always really, almost without exception, praised them for the audio description, for the notes that are available as well. They do provide a really good service. I'm anxious to find out if this one lived up to the reputation.
Well, I have to say, it always gets harder if people are good at what they do. They're victims of their own success, so the bar gets ever higher, doesn't it? And I'm pleased to be able to report to you and listeners, Ian, that yes, it was. Interesting as well, little things that are worth knowing. This production didn't have an interval. It's 1 hour, 45 minutes from beginning to end. So compared to perhaps some of Shakespeare's plays, quite a short duration, but useful just to know that, so that once you're in there, you know that you've got nearly a couple of hours of pretty powerful onstage stuff. As I say, powerful though it was dramatically, it was actually... There were, I wouldn't say lighter moments, that's perhaps unfair, but the fact that the use of music and perhaps some songs in there as well made it sort of not quite as relentlessly heavy as I guess the subject matter that I indicated before might lead you to believe. So that was good. And then, of course, there's, if you've got time to get there for it, there's the pre-show touch tour, which at the RSC tends to be a couple of hours before curtain up. And... always worth doing that, although you get a reprise of that in the notes if you're able to turn up 15 minutes before curtain up, or indeed you can tune in online or get a disc sent to you in advance on request. But just good to get a feel for the stage. It was in the Swan, the smaller of the two theatres in the main RSC building. And, I'm quite a minimalist set, to be fair, but again, a great opportunity to not just actually see some of the props and the set, and as I say, in terms of the set, this is not a criticism, but there wasn't a lot necessarily to look at. Mm-hmm. But what was a great bonus is that a number of the cast came onto the set and had a chat with visually impaired patrons and companions and people that were with them. And that is a real, you know, additional bonus that many sight and patrons would love to have. And a great, you know, great additional sort of bonus for us, but also hard work for the cast, because they're about to go on stage with the performance itself an hour or two later. And, you know, to come on and have time to talk about their role, talk about the play, talk about, you know, their careers in some cases informally, is a lovely touch. And I must say, once again, several of the cast did exactly that. And Bathsheba Pipe, who was one of the characters, in fact, all the characters are played by, you know, each member of the cast does at least a couple of different characters in this one. So they had their work cut out, but still had time to make us welcome and talk about the play. And that I can't tell you, it, you know, means a lot, I think, to people who get that opportunity.
Yeah, of course it does, Vida. I can understand that completely. So well done to the cast for doing that as well. I don't know if you heard, Vida, but we were talking to Anne Hornsby in the first hour of the programme from Mind's Eye, talking about various audio description events that are coming up. She mentioned a couple of productions that are currently touring parts of the UK, Mary Poppins and The Mousetrap, to name just a couple. What's next for yourself?
Well, mine is actually very different, and I must say that I've been lucky enough to see both of the ones that you mentioned, and would strongly recommend that if anyone gets the chance, if it's, quote, at a theatre near you, you know, do try and take advantage of the audio description, because they're iconic, timeless productions. But interestingly, hopefully next week, Ian, when I think you and I are going to be hopefully talking again, I'm going to share with you something that I'm hoping to see, in fact, tomorrow, and it's called Furious Follies. And it's an outdoor production that is being audio described. The Birmingham Hippodrome is involved in arranging this at Sutton Park in Sutton Coalfield. And it's basically commemorating the centenary of the Somme. So a very different type of show, but great that it's going to be audio described. And I hope that we'll be sharing experiences of that in a week or so.
I will look forward to it ever as Vidar. Thank you very much indeed. And I hope you enjoy Furious Follies, ITV's Vidar Harding. Thank you very much for talking to us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
It's always a pleasure, and have a nice weekend, everyone. Cheers.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.